Welcome to the very first episode of the Bort Report. What is the Bort Report? I hear you cry. Well, it's a discussion of an anime for children, because we are all children at heart. So since this is the first episode, I'm going to go just do a brief rundown of what the format of this is going to be. We're going to discuss, obviously, the anime. Jake and I discussed whether or not we'll be start from the top, go from episode one. And we decided that the niche appeal of this podcast, it's going to be basically mostly people who are already actively watching it or just kind of hovering, seeing what's going on without actively watching it. If you want to stay updated without actually having to watch the episodes because you don't know if they're worth watching, then you can listen to this and we'll give you a verdict at the end of our discussion of whether or not we think a certain episode was worth watching. We're starting right off the bat with episode 130, which is episode 2 of this, I've been calling it Bort to the Future arc. Because it's basically Back to the Future, but with ninjas.
Exactly.
All right. Just to get it out of the way, we will be discussing the manga in this podcast. We're going to try and keep spoilery things, anything that hasn't happened in the anime yet, but has happened in the manga. We're going to try and keep that in the sections where we talk specifically about the manga. So if you're worried about spoilers and you only want to follow the anime, we'll try and keep spoilers to the minimum. But if you're not reading the manga, why aren't you? Because it's great.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. All right, so quick introduction of myself and my co-host. My name's Aaron. I went to art school, and now I'm starting a podcast about anime because I make such good life choices. And Jake, how about you?
My name is Jake, and I am a fellow theme park enthusiast / anime fan, and I have been on this Naruto train for as long as I can remember, and I really love the Boruto series, and me and my co-host here, we're going to discuss everything you need to know about the series, our opinions, our thoughts, and just an overall overarching opinion of how we feel about the series.
Yeah. So as far as my history with this franchise, like a lot of people from my generation, I first was exposed to it on Toonami. I don't exactly remember where in the series I first picked it up. I know that I caught a few episodes just extemporaneously out of order and thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. I'm not sure when exactly I actually decided I was going to sit down and watch it from the beginning. I think there might have been a marathon. There were so many marathons back then. But somehow or other, I got into it and I was about 12, which was, I think, the perfect age to get involved in this franchise. And that was kind of the height of my weebdom. And I followed the anime until I ran out of English episodes. And then I went and I watched the subs until I ran out of Japanese episodes. And then I started reading the manga. And it was like around high school, I started entering my weeb shame phase, where I wanted nothing to do with anime with it anymore. And I kind of dropped and forgot about the franchise for like 8 years. Then I heard that it had finally ended, and since I'd promised myself I would find out how it ended one day, I went and I checked out the Boruto movie, and I got smacked right in the face with some nostalgia and got back on the wagon, and now here I am. How about you, Jake?
So for me, I have been with Naruto since the Toonami era, and as many of our viewers who probably live in the States, and whoever lives abroad, or if you know about it, or if you've heard about it, Toonami was a block on Cartoon Network in the United States, and it ran various anime on during the afternoons and during the evening times, and Naruto happened to be on that block. And it basically kind of opened the doors of different anime that we can watch besides just your standard Dragon Ball or Yu Yu Hakusho or Sailor Moon, you know, something different. And I just, from there on, I was a fan. I started back in, like, middle school-ish because I kind of fell off the anime wagon for some time, but got back into it because of Naruto, and I followed Naruto all the way up until the very end when the manga had concluded, and as did the anime. And I remember going to a theater and going to watch Boruto Naruto the movie and just being absolutely blown away by just how grand of a scale the film was and how good it was. And when Weekly Shonen Jump had announced that a Boruto anime was in the works and a Boruto manga was in the works, I could not have been more thrilled. I really like Boruto Uzumaki as a character. I think he's interesting. I think how they've made this series compelling has been really good. Granted, it is a spinoff. I guess you could also say it's a sequel as well. I mean, it can be considered both.
It's really more of a continuation, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Rock Lee and his Ninja Pals, that's a spinoff because it takes characters who aren't usually the protagonists and just kind of does weird shit with them. But yeah, Boruto is definitely a sequel series, much in the spirit of DBZ being a sequel to Dragon Ball, which is usually my defense when people are like, eh, bruh, why does Naruto need the sequel? It's stupid. It's dumb. Why does it need to exist? It's like, well, you know, Dragon Ball Z eventually became more popular than the original Dragon Ball. I'm not saying that will happen with Boruto. I mean, certainly not the way the anime is going so far, but you know, it's continuing a tradition that Kishimoto explicitly stated he wanted to keep going, where he wanted to go through the different hallmarks of Naruto's life, from childhood to adulthood to having kids and maybe even becoming a grandparent, you know, just like Goku. But at least this time we get to have his kid be a protagonist as opposed to poor Gohan, who
got shafted.
Who should have been the protagonist of DBZ, but just kind of quietly got shuffled off to the side. But I like Boruto as a character. I think he gets a lot of hate from Naruto stans, which I want to say I understand, but at the same time, it's like, oh, well, he doesn't appreciate his dad. It's like, he's a child.
11. He's an 11-year-old boy.
Like,
yeah.
God, it's like, of course he doesn't appreciate his dad. He's a little bratty kid, but I still find him kind of more likable than Naruto was at that age. Mainly because, you know, he's not screaming quite as much. That's one thing. He doesn't scream quite as much. He's definitely.
And he's a lot smarter. He thinks of things a lot more. Yeah.
He's more friendly, which you can't really blame Naruto for not being that friendly at that age, because, as we all know, he got the shaft from birth, pretty much. Like so many characters in the first generation. Just mad shaft from birth. But obviously, you know, they've really played down the pervy nature that the show originally had, which I appreciate a lot, because OG Naruto was a pretty randy show.
Yeah, it took some risque risks with the way that they went about it.
Yeah, I think that was just a product of its time. Boruto,
yeah,
the anime,
it's
for a younger audience in general than the original Naruto was, which, so I try to give it a little leeway, keeping that in mind, that it's kind of, as opposed to the manga, which is more, this is for you older fans who want your blood and guts and your angst. And you want the hardcore ninja crap.
Yeah.
But the newer one, the anime, is more for, like, let's, you know, start a new generation of fans, which we'll see how that one works out, you know.
Yeah.
It unfortunately got canceled on Toonami for now, so that's not too uplifting, but at the same time, they put it on at, like, what, 1 a.m.?
Yeah, it's in a really weird spot. I was actually going to speak about that too. You know, it's really disheartening to hear that Boruto got the shaft from, we're saying shaft a lot in this conversation, but,
It's a good word. Shaft is a good word.
Yeah, it is. It's saddening that it got the shaft from Toonami, but what's happening with Toonami right now is they got a lot of new anime going in, so unfortunately they're running out of slots to put stuff in, so I had a feeling that this was going to happen with everything coming to the network, and but we'll see it again. Toonami has said, and if you follow Toonami Faithful, shout out to those guys on Twitter, they have explicitly said that Boruto has a chance to come back and return, so you know, just keep your eyes peeled. I'm sure it'll eventually come back. They actually ended it around the time of the Chunin Exams arc, so things should get really interesting if they do choose to go back to it. But another option is, if you're really, really in for that English dub Boruto fix, I'd keep yourself posted with Viz Media, because they do release the English dub DVDs, and there's a very big chance that they're going to be releasing the Chunin Exams via DVD, probably, you know, because that's what they did with the Naruto Shippuden series, because Naruto Shippuden was so far behind the dub, so they ended up fast-forwarding the thing, because Boruto was already a thing in the for the English dub, so... So if you're listening to this and you're looking for, you know, Boruto DVDs or whatever, you can get it on Blu-ray at like Walmart if you live in the States, or if you're online or you live halfway across the world, you know, you can get on Amazon and buy it off of Amazon. So those are all your options.
You can also just watch the sub, which...
Oh, yeah, you can always watch the sub, too. The sub's always an option. But if you are a dub fan and really want to get into that Boruto dub, those are the options available. I was going to say, Aaron, we should probably get on to the episode discussion.
Yes, we should. Thank you, Jake. Yeah. All right. As I mentioned earlier, this is episode 2 of the Boruto the Future. And the first episode in this arc had a pretty good reception. I'm going to admit, I got hit pretty hard with the nostalgia, and I'm not someone who gets very sentimental, but I might have gotten a little bit misty-eyed during certain parts. This one, I think, it wasn't like a bad episode, it was just kind of...
It was okay, it was just the average episode, yeah.
I think the novelty has worn off a little bit, or they're just not going as hard for the feels quite as much as they did in the first one. So... Let's get down to brass tacks. They have ramen for breakfast. Boruto's not too psyched about that. Boruto hangs around with his new... I can't believe he didn't pick a pseudonym. And I'm going to wrote back to this because I have a theory regarding this. Well, not really a theory, but more like I hope they don't do this. I'll just say it now. I hope to God that they don't end up having where... Oh, like Naruto chose that name because of this special friend he had... when he was a little boy.
How much you want to bet by the end of this arc, they're going to pull that? They're going to pull that.
They'll do it. Because they've already implied, like, and we'll get to this later, but they've already implied that certain things that Boruto is doing have directly or at least inadvertently caused events that will happen in the future, which that's something I was really curious about. Like, hey, how are they going to pull this off without basically destroying the current timeline? And, I mean, we've got... I think they said that it's going to be about around nine episodes total in this entire arc. So we've got like 7 left. So they've still got a lot of room to mess shit up, I guess. So back to the episode, Boruto's going around with his dad and he tries to be coy and ask about, hey, like, I want to meet your teammates. Because he really wants to meet Kid Sasuke, and Naruto is mopey and vague about it. We know why. This kind of takes me to another point, which I was concerned about, was what exactly time period are they in? Because everyone was kind of thinking, like, well, they can't, it can't be, you know, it can't be before the Chunin exams, it can't be during the Chunin exams. A lot of people theorized it would be, like, right after the Chunin exams, but before Sasuke left, because they think a lot of the publications leading up to this arc had led us to believe that he'd be meeting young Sasuke, but I guess that's not going to happen, because Sasuke's already left the village, and it seems like the Sasuke retrieval arc has already ended by this point.
Yeah, and I was going to add to this. What kind of makes this complicated is where it takes place timelines-wise, because I've watched Naruto religiously, and I'm going to just say it's kind of weird where its continuity is, because it's, you know, Tsunade hasn't become Hokage yet. She hasn't fully been inaugurated as Hokage, and I believe it happened around that time when Sasuke went missing. I mean, Sasuke's already gone. That is basically, from what this seems like, it seems like this takes place possibly maybe weeks or possibly a month, because in the original Naruto manga, about a month went by, or I believe it was 3 months. I don't remember offhand, but it was like a month or 3 months had gone by after Sasuke had left, and this must be right before Tsunade, before Tsunade became Hokage, and...
At the very least, they haven't built her big rock face yet.
Yeah, they haven't put her face up, but they also mentioned, I think it was mentioned in, like, the episode before that she wasn't Hokage yet, she was just kind of there.
Like, she's technically in charge, but they haven't really inaugurated her yet. Which, yeah. I thought that Sasuke was there for that, but I guess not.
He was, I remember an episode, but I don't even know if that was, like, part of the canon material. I guess that was just kind of thrown in there just for the sake of, I don't remember. This is very... The way that they did this is kind of complicated, but we won't get into the logistics of that.
Let's just say they're being very loosey-goosey with the timeline. But, you know, if this is after the retrieval arc, you know where they are, Dig. They're in filler hell.
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, if many Naruto fans remember, after the final fight with Sasuke happened, they couldn't do anything for Shippuden for a while, so OG Naruto went to filler hell because they had to give Naruto Shippuden, the manga, a chance to sort of get enough chapters out for them to actually do an anime.
Yeah, so instead of just taking a hiatus, they're like, let's just stick around for, what was it, like, literally like 100 episodes?
I almost think it was probably like 50 or 60 episodes. Something about that. It was like, oh my God.
It was an absurd amount of just some of the worst anything ever. Like, one thing I can say for the Boruto anime is at least their crappy fillers look better than a crappy Naruto filler. Because, oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it was, that was a point in the series when I think a lot of people just got so sick of it. I think that was around the time that the original Toonami got canceled as well.
Yeah, it was after 2006, 2007. But
filler hell was so bad it killed Toonami.
Yeah. Also, we should go. I'll take these next like two topics here. Boruto meets a young Konohamaru as they're walking through the village, and that had to be the funniest thing ever. It was the greatest thing ever because we all know that, you know, Boruto looks up to Konohamaru a lot since, you know, he's
supposedly.
Like, supposedly, because he's the sensei. And we get to see we get to see Konohamaru use the sexy jutsu.
I should note it was a very PG sexy jutsu.
Yeah.
Which I appreciated at least.
Yeah. And then the biggest golden goose of this episode was, and unfortunately I wish there was more to it, but you know, what can you do? Neji shows up and Boruto, before Neji shows up, Hinata shows up. And Boruto's blown away that it's his mom, and his mom is super, super freaking shy. And Boruto's like has like third degree, you know, embarrassment. Basically, seeing Naruto and Hinata interact with each other, and Boruto's just like, why are they like this? And then Neji does show up, and what sucks is they really didn't build more onto this. It was just kind of hi, how you doing, hello.
Yeah, he shows up, and then he's like hi, and then he leaves, and nothing is really made of it.
Yeah,
a lot of people were kind of like, what the hell?
Yeah, I was on, we both were on Twitter today, and it was very evident on Twitter that this was a thing.
I mean, I guess I kind of don't blame him, because it's like he's never met this person, and it's not like he had a relationship with Neji before Neji died, because he wasn't born yet. So I guess it makes sense that he wouldn't really have too much of an emotional reaction.
Yeah.
But it was very underwhelming for people who wanted something more from that, which I understand. Like, there was a lot of, I think, underwhelm in this episode is what I would describe it as, because a lot of people were very excited, like, oh my god, we're going to see, like, kid versions of the old Jen again, and I just have to say I'm pretty relieved that I didn't have to see Lee in crutches again, because that would have broken me.
Yeah, so this definitely takes place a little while after that, and that's something that we were going over in our notes before we started the podcast, is that we don't really know where this takes place time-wise, so if you're looking for an explanation for that, you're not going to really get a straight answer.
It's in the amorphous filler hell time, which, as we all know, was just basically Naruto purgatory.
Yeah, for a time being, before Shippuden could become greenlit, and Even in the endings, they tease the hell out of time skip Naruto in some of the endings, but they nonchalantly showed it of him in his black and orange jumpsuit. Next one is Denki's dad shows up. He just kind of is there. He just kind of this Naruto bumps into him, and it's like, you know, Boruto mentions the idea of just train cars, and Denki's dad's like, why have I never thought about that? So
he invents trains, I guess. Did they not? I'm pretty sure this universe had trains.
Before. Yeah, they did. What's weird is that Naruto, and Aaron has mentioned this many times to me, that Naruto doesn't exactly have a stable idea about what its, like, universe is in terms of, like, technology. I mean, they had, like, televisions and stuff and, like, Shippuden. It's just, none of it made sense.
In the manga, they have Starbucks.
Yeah, they have Starbucks. They have Ninja Bucks. And,
I'm never gonna goddamn let that one go.
No, I'm gonna have my macchiato.
They have Starbucks.
Gonna have my chai latte with my macchiato.
Yeah, so, like, this is what I was talking about before, where it's like, he's like, blah, 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 train. Why don't we put a train in the village? And then, you know, Denki's
dad. It happened.
Who doesn't have a name, he's just Denki's dad. He's like, huh, I should do that. Which I guess implies that that's the whole reason that the Kaminariman or whatever.
Yeah, Kaminariman company.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Which, just a quick fun fact, the phrase Denki Kaminari means label.
Interesting. I learned something new here today. Oh, that's awesome.
And I have to think that the only reason they put the Mon at the end of the name was because there's already a character from My Hero Academia named Denki Kaminari.
Yep, and he's a lightning user, and he's really stupid whenever he uses electricity.
Yeah, so it could not be more different than our Denki, who, in the dub, they call him Denki, which we can dive into the dub on another day, but I have a lot of feelings about the dub that are not necessarily positive.
I guess I'll go into this next one, I guess, if you want me to, or if you want to, I can go into it. It's,
okay, I gotta take this one. Take this one because their mission, the whole reason that the Genin get together is they're like, well, we have to clean the bathhouse because there was an incident yesterday. And the incident was that Naruto and Jiraiya were there and they were peeping, but what the fuck happened that they need 11 people to clean it up?
Oh my god, so basically, it was something in regards to them, you know, Naruto, basically what Eren said, you know, Jiraiya and Naruto peeping, and basically all the Genin were instructed to clean. And basically, classic Naruto antics ensue. Boruto and Naruto have like a water spray off of each other. They just kind of shoot each other with like water. And it's the funniest thing ever.
Lots
and
of Shikaru bad VM and animated hijinks in this episode.
Yeah, it was very much, to me, this was very much classic Naruto of just antics, just stupid stuff going on. I mean, this is what traditional Naruto was always about. It was just always, there wasn't serious missions, in between there was always just the goofy, we goof off and do stupid stuff, and, you know, it kind of brought back that whole thing when Naruto and Sasuke are like, or Sasuke is chasing after Naruto, and Naruto used sexy jutsu. And Sasuke just kicks the crap out of Naruto and Sexy Jutsu, and it's the funniest thing ever. It's just one of those episodes where it's just silliness between each other. And I will take this next point. Hinata apparently notices Boruto looks exactly like Naruto. So we don't really know how Hinata feels this way or knows or has a certain instinct about her, but I mean, she's, of course, Boruto's mother, so I guess, you know, all moms have some kind of instinct or feeling. But Hinata has, like, zero issue talking to Boruto. But with Naruto, she's super shy. But with Boruto, she can literally sit down and have a full-on, like, maybe a 30, 40-minute conversation with the guy if she wanted to.
And then Ino's like, teehee, you have a crush on him. Which I knew they were going to go there because they went there in Dragon Ball Z with Trunks and Bulba. I mean, it was... That was a lot worse, but I knew it. I was like, oh, they're going to go there.
They're going to do it, yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, I think what sucks for this old gen is that they don't realize who Boruto is. And if they did, I mean, that would change everything. I mean, Naruto's entire life would be changed had he known that that was his son right next to him.
Or had not. Like, when they go to the future, I assume they're going to have to get back to the future. But when they eventually go back, are the adults going to remember this? Like,
that is the question that's going to be interesting. And that's where I feel and Eren loves this so much. This is where the turtle comes into play. I'm curious.
The goddamn turtle! Oh my god, I forgot! Yeah. They time travel because of a magic turtle robot thing.
That ties into what we're going to be segueing into next. And that is Boruto... confronts, but actually before that, Boruto actually, after everything said and done during the day, after they're all dismissed, Boruto goes to confront Sasuke about him not being there, and Sasuke kind of lets it slip a little bit. They get, you know, I really, at the time, didn't have my head straight, didn't know what I was doing. It wasn't really specified in the dialogue, but it was basically implied that, you know, Sasuke was basically telling Boruto, I didn't know what I was doing back then.
He had a boner for murder.
And, yeah, and basically, you know, Boruto's like, why don't you just go talk to Naruto? I mean, yeah, it would affect Itama, but Boruto basically felt really bad for his dad and basically was like, look, why don't you two just try to, you know, rekindle, even if what, you know, Boruto was just kind of being, you know, selfish.
Why don't you go fuck the entire future right now?
Yeah, and Sasuke's like, yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. And then the next day they meet up with each other and basically Odashiki pulls up, and that brings us back to the whole thing with the turtle. That's basically why this whole thing is happening, is basically Odashiki was being tracked in the modern time, and Boruto and Sasuke had this turtle thing, and basically they were sent back while trying to track down Odashiki from going to the past to kill a young Naruto.
He doesn't want to kill him. He just wants his fox juice.
Which would still kill him, because he wouldn't survive if he had his fox juice expunged.
Well, that's like, he wants the chakra, but like, I'm curious, like, what's the difference between that and, like, because he doesn't want to extract the entire spirit.
Yeah, he doesn't have the tail,
like,
beast.
I'm
but
confused about how, or, I don't know.
There's, yeah, there's no point.
There's a lot of this that's just very vague, like, and it's just, yeah, like, I want to do this thing for reasons. I don't know. Yeah, you figure it out.
It's very dance around the specifics. It's, you know, something that if you try to apply way too much mental strength into you, you're just going to give yourself a headache. But basically what happens is Odashiki shows up. He confronts Naruto, Sasuke, and Boruto. He captures Naruto in the next episode, which is what we're going to segue into now, is basically with Boruto and Sasuke basically confronting Odashiki and trying to save Naruto, and we get to see a little bit of the Nine Tails Chakra Cloak around Naruto, and it shows in the preview of Boruto trying to calm a enraged Naruto down.
Yeah, see, this is kind of where I got my, like, oh no, he's going to have a very special moment. And then the millions of other very special friends Naruto has made throughout the series, he promptly forgets about. For some reason, this one stays with him.
Yeah, and that's basically the end of that episode. It kind of leads into some big action, and I think this is where the whole idea of pretending that they'll probably pull something, but part of me feels like they're gonna have to kind of let it slip that they aren't from this time, because Naruto's going to see Boruto. I completely forgot, Jiraiya's with them too. That's one thing I forgot to mention. Jiraiya's with Sasuke and Boruto, and they're all going to team up and stop Odashiki. But the problem is with this next episode is that I don't see Sasuke using his abilities, because he's currently kind of depleted of all of his chakra, so he can only do like taijutsu with his sword. So it's going to be up to Boruto to kind of fight Odashiki again.
Well, I mean, honestly, like, Sasuke got his ass kicked last time.
Yeah, he got brutally destroyed by a dude.
Like, a Sanin and a Kage, like, are no match for this guy, but 2 12-year-olds, goddamn, they give him a run for his money.
Shonen. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful literature.
But I'm just, like, I'm surprised it's happening this soon, because then, like, well, what are you guys going to do for the rest of the arc?
Yeah, that's the question I have. They're already having this. They're probably going to have Naruto save, and Odashiki is probably just going to get away again. I think that's what's going to happen. But I think what's going to happen is that we're going to have some the glasses come off here, because both Jiraiya and Naruto are going to figure out that Boruto can use the Rasengan. So that's going to blow the lid off some things, and I'm sure Jiraiya is going to grill Boruto about how did he learn it? Did you go to Mount Moriboku? This is going to be really interesting going forward, how they do this. And this whole arc is just supposed to be like a crack ship kind of thing, where it just kind of, whatever goes, so.
Yeah, they're really doing it to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the franchise, which, you know, it's you know, this seems fun. I'm surprised they didn't do it as a movie. I think it probably would have been better as a movie, but they need to pad out the anime as much as they possibly can, so.
Yeah, world building, let's go.
Let's go do absolutely no world building whatsoever and just do some really bad fan fictions. This is a discussion for another time, but it's just like, this anime it has a lot of the ingredients to be something very good, and they just make so many baffling decisions that I can't understand. Like, why would you do that? Like with Shinki, like, hey, let's just make him an unbelievable little dick for no reason. Like, okay.
And then give him personality, like the latter half of the arc, and it's like, oh, well, you know. And then he's taking similar strokes as Gaara, you know. It's just like, oh my god.
Yeah, and it's like, but he doesn't have the background to, like, justify it, so I call him Diet Gaara.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do we want to dabble with Chapter 39 today, or
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, we're
yeah, it's gonna be hard not to spoil, because there's some stuff in here that's really hard to... Yeah.
So if anyone is listening, if you are manga only, I mean, sorry, if you are anime only and you don't want manga spoilers, this would be the time...
This would be the point that you would click off the video and avoid it, because this is gonna be...
Podcast, Jake. It's a podcast.
Oh, I completely forgot.
But yeah, this going forward in the future, we'd like to have, you know, input from listeners. Like, send us theories. What did you think of the episode? What did you think? Oh, speaking of, Jake, would you call this one a skip? Is this an episode to skip, or is this an episode to watch?
Episode to skip or episode to watch?
I'm gonna call it a skip on my part.
Yeah, it's definitely a skip. If you want to see casual Naruto antics, then by all means be our guest. But I'm gonna go ahead and agree with Aaron here, and this would be a skip.
Yeah, this one is not essential viewing.
This is not important or integral to anything. But on to chapter 39 for the podcast.
On to chapter 39. All right. Do you want to start, Jake?
Yeah. Let's just get into this. Let's get into the meat and bones and potatoes of this whole chapter. Basically, the chapter before it, Naruto and Sasuke go against Jigen and Ishiki, I believe his name is. I might have that name. And basically, they have the dog shit slapped out of them. You know, if you're not a friend of a big language, that's the best way to describe it. They basically had the literal dog shit slapped out of them. And basically, Naruto got captured and put in a giant kettle. And Sasuke got sent to back to their regular dimension, because they were in another dimension fighting him. And Sasuke is basically badly wounded. The ninja corpse shows up, you know. Everybody, pretty much Sarda, Mitsuki, Boruto, and Kawaki there. And
it's Team 7 Feet Kawaki. Get with the program.
Exactly. And basically, Shikamaru shows up and basically in...
He's kind of a dick.
Yeah, kind of acts like an absolute ass. And just
I understand why. It's like, yeah, I understand, like, your leader's missing and everything. But it's like, come on, man. Come on, man. Don't kick the puppy.
Yeah, he kind of acts like a real jerk around Kawaki. He's just kind of pressing him and, you know, saying, what the heck happened to Naruto? Did you do this? And, you know, what gets mentioned next is Koji. This guy is really interesting. We really don't know what his motivations are, what the kind of person he is. We've come to this kind of deduction. We think he may be working for the Leaf, and he could be someone undercover. Someone from our Twitter group chat that we're a part of on Twitter, and if you're ever interested, let us know, has debunked that maybe he could be affiliated with Leaf. He could be Kakashi, possibly.
I think that's a bit too convenient. This,
yeah.
I wanted to get into this as our fan theory for the day subject, but Koji's identity has definitely been an object of mystery for a lot of people. There's been theories as out there as he's a Jiraiya clone, or he is Jiraiya, he's Jiraiya from
or he's the son of Jiraiya, or he is Jiraiya himself.
Hey, I am full on Team Bastard. I think if anyone in the Naruto franchise is going to have a bastard kid that's going to show up and be a villain later, it's going to be Jiraiya.
Yeah, with all the girls he's still, jeez. Oh my god. But
that's the hill I'm gonna die on. He's Jiraiya's bastard, and he's born in the village, and then maybe left because of his shitty dad. I think it's too convenient that he's working directly with the Leaf Village. That just feels there's too much conflicting with that, and Kara wouldn't be as much of a mystery.
Yeah,
we'd know by now if he was an inside man. So it's more complicated than that, I think.
Yeah. It's not simplistic, and that's what's kind of irritating a lot of people, is that nobody can figure it out, and it's a lot more fun that way because we don't really know who he is. But we go on further into this with about Kara's lair. We go back to them, and the scientist Amato is helping out Jigen or Ishiki, whichever, or we don't really know who's speaking because the body's being possessed by two different people.
Yeah,
so
I think it's still unclear as to who's in control. Like, do they switch back and forth, or is Ishiki in control all the time? And like,
this is very if you guys play video games, you'll understand this reference. It's very Ansem and Riku from Kingdom Hearts-esque. It's very two basically share one body, and it's, you know, sort of a fight between the two of them at times, because there's if you read the last chapter, there was a little bit of emotional struggle going on with Jigen, so that opens up a can of worms for a later episode that we can do that in. But Kara basically, you know, is just having their usual talk about what their, you know, plans are. Amato's there, you know, just establish the overall villain thing.
We learn a little bit more about, like, we've been getting like bits and pieces of what Kara's plan is, or specifically what Jigen's plan is. There's mention of him granting wishes for people once they have done whatever it is they set out to do, which I'm kind of leaning towards what some people are saying, that he's probably not actually going to do it. He's just kind of stringing it along. But who knows? I mean, he might be one of those villains who keeps his promises. There was an interesting exchange between Amado, Jigen, and Delta, where, you know, Delta's just hanging out, and Amado clearly has some kind of, like, he either built her or made her somehow. Like, he's the tech science man of this group. And when Jigen brings up the wishes, he's like, oh yeah, and we'll totally grant your wish. And then Amado, he has this meaningful glance towards Delta, who's like, fuck off, old man, stop looking at me. I personally think that her design was probably based on a loved one of his. It's kind of a trope in science fiction anime that I'm gonna bring back my dead kid as a robot.
Very Dr. Frankenstein, I guess.
It's very Frankenstein, it's very Astro Boy, it's very Metropolis, and she actually, her design kind of does remind me of Tima from Metropolis. If you haven't seen that movie, the 2001 Metropolis by Rintaro was a great movie.
Or wanna be with the popular with the kids today, Alita Battle Angel.
I don't give a crap about being popular with the kids today, making a Boruto podcast.
I just saw that there as a reference, because that's what I pulled from it. It felt very Alita Battle Angel with the
it's essentially a concept that's been done before, and that I could definitely see them going down that route. Like, I don't think Delta is his daughter, but she was just kind of modeled to look like her, and that his wish would be to bring his actual real daughter back. But I mean, who knows? I could be entirely way off. This manga's been throwing me for quite a few loops, which is
yeah, fun. it's been very unpredictable, and it's been kind of going in directions that you'd never think it would go, and that's why it's so good, and that's why by the way, big up Kodachi right now, because I mean, that man has really done a phenomenal job with the Boruto manga, and also big ups to Ikimoto Sensei as well, because he's been doing his best with the art, and I mean, they have just, both of them have been the best for this series, and I mean, I wasn't expecting Boruto to go off like this and be this good, but they have done a stellar job, so just want to just kind of shout out to them and know that they are, you know, people care about what they're doing and people love what they're doing, so please continue to surprise us every step of the way.
Yeah, Ikimoto gets a lot of undeserved hate, but I love his art, and I will fight anyone on that.
Oh, yeah.
But back to the chapter. So going back to Team 7 featuring Kawaki. So they're basically being detained by Shikamaru. Boruto's not happy about it. Shikamaru is insinuating that Kawaki is a spy. So while Boruto and Shikamaru are screaming at each other, we have this little moment between Sarada and Kawaki, who he's moping. Sarada has her already infamous line where she says that she wishes Naruto were her dad, which, I mean, I don't blame her. I know that the anime has been kind of trying to recuperate, I guess, Sasuke's reputation as a parent, but, like, as far as the manga, he's pretty much not around for her ever, and that kind of makes me curious about, like, what does Kodachi think about, you know, the whole kerfuffle with, you know, Sasusaku, like, does, I don't think he would go as far as to, you know, divorce them as so many people want, just because Japan is kind of touchy about divorce, at least that I understand.
Yeah, and also they're very big.
Disclaimer, I'm an ignorant American and I have a very limited understanding of Japan, but from what I have read is that divorce is a lot less common over there than it is here, so I don't think it would go that far, but he's certainly not doing the shippers any favors.
Yeah,
so they have that scene, and then Kawaki notices that his prosthetic has come back online, which means that Naruto is not only alive, but is conscious again, and then he figures out how to teleport.
Yeah, Kawaki opens up a portal, and then Boruto's karma reacts to that, and basically does the same thing, and basically they all go together. Actually, I had that out of order. Mitsuki shows up. Basically, there's a whole debate going on, you know, between all of them, and they all kind of universally agree they gotta do something, so Kawaki's like, look, Shikamaru, if you don't believe me, I'm gonna go and get Naruto back myself. And basically, Boruto just tags along, and Mitsuki basically... Yeah. So, and they end up in the dimension where Boro is.
Shikamaru tries to stop them, but he doesn't try very hard.
Yeah, he's not the kind of...
Whatever, nothing I can do about it.
It's like, yeah, it's whatever. And then they show up in the dimension, and then we see Boro standing by the kettle that Naruto's sealed in. And, you know, it's just kind of this dialogue of, oh, you just, you know...
He's worse than Jigen.
Basically, it's, we just sort of that starting shonen battle dialogue of, oh, well, you decided
it's
to show up.
It's gonna be bad, hmm.
Yeah, so we don't really know what's going to happen next chapter, but we are insinuating that there's going to most likely be a casualty, because there's no way they're going to survive fighting one of the Kara's members. One thing I want to say, and this is going to cause some controversy, is I'm going to say, because, you know, this is the podcast, got to throw something out, you know, a bone out there. I feel Kara is definitely a lot stronger than Miyakatsu. They're a lot smarter, they're not as stupid, they're not as desperate.
They have to be. They literally have to be in order for there to be any conflict in this, because, the, you know, we've got Kage Naruto and Sasuke, who they've already like beaten an alien god monster. So just by the nature of, you know, power creep, Kara has to be more powerful.
Yeah,
than Akatsuki. They just have to.
Yeah, basically, you know, they show up. And that's basically how the chapter ends. It's basically with them confronting Boro. Now, Boro has a technique, as from what we were shown a while back in the earlier chapters, is he has a technique very similar to the Kamui, which allows that person to kind of phase in and out of objects. So if they get hit with them, now we haven't seen the full ability set of Boro, so we don't really know what Boro's going to do. We just know that he's going to just kind of...
He's going to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, and we're really kind of thinking Mitsuki's gonna get the brute end of it. We're gonna, because
he's the only one who's replaceable. They can make another one.
Yeah, and if you guys have watched the anime, to anyone who's watched the anime and is currently still watching this, you know, does both, you understand that Orochimaru had basically mentioned that though if Mitsuki were to die, I think they mentioned that his memories or whatever had been like kind of like backed up. So if something happens to his current body, the memories and everything will stay there. They can just get a new body for him and replace it.
Which is cheating, by the way.
It is cheating. It is kind of cheap. So his death wouldn't really... I mean, if Mitsuki were to metaphorically go next chapter or the chapter after that, it wouldn't really bother me because we would see him again.
Yeah, and, like, it would be a cheap shot, I'd say, because it's like, oh no, he died, but yeah, he's back.
But it would give both Sarada and Boruto some kind of motivation to do something. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we gotta have, because we're, as a lot of people I've been talking with, and we're not quite there yet. This is a good place to start establishing, like, the seeds of a time skip. Have, like, you know, us start to get that ball rolling of, like, with Boruto having his, like, you know, motivations crushed and whatever, or Sarada's crushed. And that's another thing I want to mention. Sarada's outclassed in this entire thing. I mean, she has taijutsu, but, I mean...
It sucks.
You got Mitsuki with Sage Snake Mode, Boruto and Kawaki with Karma, and, I mean, at most... Sarada has, like, fire style and, like, Tutomo, but that's not going to be enough to stop this guy. This guy is going to like he's gonna clean up shop in this fight. And my prediction is Sasuke is gonna eventually, because Sakura is gonna heal Sasuke, and Sasuke is gonna open up a dimension and go after the kids and save them, because I'm sure he's gonna freak out knowing Sarada's in another dimension by herself, possibly on the verge of getting murdered. So I'm sure he's gonna, you know, become, you know, dad and, you know, go and save, you know, his daughter and everybody else. So, but I feel that I don't think the one that they won't be able to save is Kawaki. And that's, I guess that's another thing that will get the ball rolling too, is...
And Mitsuki, I think he's going to explode himself in vain.
It's going to, yeah.
He'll explode himself, and then Kawaki gets taken, and because they're going to, you know, it's way too early for Sasuke to die. I do think he will die at some point in the manga, but it's way too soon. So they'll have this fight, we'll get rid of Mitsuki, and have, you know, little cheap death scene there, make Boruto angry, makes Sarada angry. Maybe she'll get a new Tomoe from this. That'd be pretty cool. But I'm not expecting it. But
a lot of people want her to awaken, like, her Mangekyo and whatever, and that's just not gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen for a while, fam.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. And this is my prediction. My prediction is basically Team 7 and Kawaki get beaten. Kawaki gets recaptured again. Mitsuki gets killed. Boruto and Sarada are practically incapacitated. Sasuke shows up and saves them before it's too late. And unfortunately, they couldn't save Kawaki, and you know, Mitsuki's gone. And so basically, it's gonna be like the original Naruto was, where both we have two team members that are incredibly depressed because they are living with a failure as a ninja because they couldn't stop the threat.
And that's also they got a Hokage got yeeted.
Yeah. So that's kind of where. You know, where, you know, the ideas kind of end. We really don't know where this goes next, but it's a lot to chew on, you know. So.
I'm really hoping they make Sakura the new Hokage.
I have a feeling that she could be, I mean, honestly.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too. And people said they should get Kakashi back in, and I'm like, nah, Kakashi's done.
He's done. He's out. I love Kakashi. He's great, but he's thoroughly outclassed. Pretty much, I don't want to say all of the K-12 at this point, but at least half of them could probably kick his butt at this point. And that's just because he's retired. It's like, he's not, you know, he's not at peak performance anymore. He doesn't have his Sharingan anymore.
Yeah, he's practically like old man Joseph from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Park.
Yeah, so he's still rad, and I still love him, but his time has ended, and I don't think he would want to be Hokage again. I mean, he wasn't Hokage that long before he decided, fuck this, I quit. So I think he'd turn it down if he did get offered.
Right.
So Sakura should be the next Hokage, because yes, queen, and also it kind of goes back to that whole, like, you know, looping back to the way things were before the time skip in part one. You know, we got a brand new Hokage, a lady Hokage. You got, you know, a member of Team 7 is missing. I guess technically two members.
Yeah.
Kawaki's like the honorary fourth member. He's the fourth Beetle.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to process from this chapter, and a lot going on that, I mean, Kodachi could go in a lot of places. We need to, like, what's Koji gonna do? You know, are we gonna see Code in the next chapter? Because I'm so excited to find out what his powers are, because he just looks like a real sadist, and we need one of those. I miss a good villain who just wants to hurt people because it's fun. We had too many sad baby villains.
Yeah, and I'm glad that we're getting something, and if you guys watch My Hero Academia, you'll understand this reference, we're getting something akin to, like, Overhaul in the, Boruto series, where we have a villain that generally just wants to hurt people. You know?
And then I think maybe the next chapter we might start out with going back to Sasuke, following up on, like, what's he up to? He's probably, his first priority would be to get back to the house. And then Shikamaru's like, well, they left. He's just pretty much sitting there with his hands in his pockets, like, well, I can't teleport, so I'm fucked.
Yeah, so basically it's going to involve Sasuke having to go and rescue the kids. And yeah. I don't think it's going to be a pretty sight, but. This chapter 40 is going to be nuts when we go on and discuss that next. That's going to be a very incredible chapter, and I'm sure both me and Aaron are going to be, like, crazy about it, because, I mean, there's some really wild stuff they could do with this next. But yeah, I mean, that kind of wraps that whole thing up with a nice bow, you know?
And chapter 40 will be dropping on November 20th, which is right around Thanksgiving, if you live in America like we do. So definitely something to be thankful for. And we are creeping up on about an hour for this, our first episode. So I think this is a good place to end off. Listeners, if there's any of you out there, we'd love to hear from you. What are your theories? What do you think is going to happen? Do you read the manga? And if you do, what do you think of it so far? What do you think is going to happen? And if you are anime only, what do you think is going to happen with this time travel shenanigans?
Yeah, this creates a lot of questions and more. So,
We want this to be a podcast that engages with its audience as much as possible. We want to hear from people. And that's all she wrote.
Huh? That's it.
All right. So. We'll see you next time.